is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Coach Steve Moore, and you're listening to the Hoopheads Podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. This episode is brought to you by the Ready State Virtual Mobility Coach. Dr. Starrett is a movement and mobility coach for players in the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA, plus a doctor of physical therapy. Kelly has created a program called Virtual Mobility Coach. Every day, Virtual Mobility Coach gives you guided mobility videos. It walks you step by step through Kelly's proven techniques to relieve pain, improve range of motion, and improve performance. Try it completely free for 2 weeks, and if you decide to continue, you can get 10% off for life using promo code HOOPHEADS10. Visit thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 at checkout. Again, that's thereadystate.com/hoopheads and use code HOOPHEADS10 when you sign up to get 10% off for the life of your membership after your 14-day free trial ends.
Hello and welcome to Hoopheads. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are jumping on to talk some NBA. A few interesting things going on around the league, and we're going to hit on a bunch of them tonight. So, Jay, kick it off.
Mike, do you still have a job?
Do I still have a job?
Yeah, do you still have a job?
I think so.
You think so? Well, Lloyd Pierce doesn't. The Atlanta Hawks fired Lloyd Pierce. And I was actually surprised by the move. Because I hadn't even heard any rumblings, but I guess Atlanta people wanted him out. I guess that he was not very good at managing timeouts, not very good at managing lineups. Obviously, listen, I feel like he was dealt
a
really
bad... Is
he good
at managing defense?
Well, I think he's dealt a bad hand. I think he was dealt... I mean, all his player... Like, I mean, he's got, like, a bunch of players that are injured. They brought Rondo in. He's been atrocious. They haven't been good. And... Like you've got Bogdanovich hurt, you've got Hunter recently hurt, and they play like when those four guys were playing and all at the same time were on the floor, they were playing well. And then you got Jason Collins basically on the trading block like the last 3 weeks,
I've
heard his name. Or John Collins, not Jason Collins. Sorry, Jason Collins was a former NBA player, but John Collins has been on the trading block the last like month, basically. I don't understand how they expect him to succeed. It's not like this is going to change anything. And I will say, Mike, the first thing I thought of is, I don't know if you read that piece back in like January where they were talking about how the lack of diversity in coaching, and then they fired the one really black, like the one black coach. And I was like, oh no, they better replace him with an African-American coach. Like they better do it. And then they like Nate McMillan, obviously, he has a good career. He's had a good career coaching. That was the first thing that came to mind is, oh, no, not another one of these, because we know what's going to happen is the pundits are going to be like, why do these Why do these African-American coaches not get a chance? And I truly think that they should have not canned him. I don't think they should have canned him at this point, personally. And I mean, I'm not an NBA GM. I'm not an NBA owner, so I guess I don't get to make those decisions. But I think he was dealt a bad hand. I think this is a terrible year. And you brought all these guys in, and you didn't have any time for training camp, essentially, to get them in. And they started off the season okay. They've been pretty terrible recently. I don't think they should have fired him, personally.
I think for me, it still comes down to you got to figure out the Trae Young situation. And by the Trae Young situation, I mean when you have a guy who is the de facto best player on your team and has basically just been given the keys to the car and can do whatever he wants offensively and shoot whenever he wants. He's got the ball in his hands a ton. And then on the other end, he's one of the worst, if not the worst, defensive player in the league. Eventually, teammates get tired of that, and it's hard to win. It's hard to win if your best offensive player has zero interest in the other end of the floor. That guy can still be very, very effective offensively, as Trae Young has proven. And look, he's a really talented offensive player. But I just don't think you can win when the guy who is controlling the ball and the guy who is doing everything on offense is as complete or as next to a zero as you possibly can. And to me, that's where it gets difficult for a coach. How do you manage that? How do you explain that away to the other players? Because players aren't stupid. I mean, they see what's going on. They know sort of where the team's bread is buttered, and they know that Trae Young is getting the freedom to be able to do things offensively. And yet, it seems like he hasn't necessarily been held accountable at the other end of the floor. And maybe he's just not capable because of his size, but we've seen guys that are small at least compete on the defensive end of the floor. And I just don't think Trae Young competes as hard as he's going to need to if Atlanta's ever going to win. And then you said it really well when you start talking about the injuries and the roster and the things that are going on. I know that I heard, can't remember where I heard it, but that they were talking about just that when Atlanta plays with DeAndre Hunter, Capella, and Trae Young on the floor at the same time, that their on-off numbers are pretty solid. And when you start digging into the bench,
it was a Ringer show. It was the mismatch.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So they were talking about that today. And I think, you know, when you look at the acquisitions that this team made over the summer, Bogdanovich, as you said, was hurt. Gallinari hasn't been nearly as good as they thought. Chris Dunn hasn't played at all, really. Cam Reddish hasn't improved since last season. There's a lot of things. The John Collins, Trae Young kind of dust up. The fact that Collins probably is going to want a max contract, and they're trying to figure out, do you sign him, do you not sign him? So I'm not sure that the Atlanta Hawks team building has really gone very well, which obviously isn't on Lloyd Pierce. Look, we all know coaches are hired to get fired. And so is it surprising that any coach gets fired ultimately? No, not really. As you said, there wasn't really much. I didn't hear much in the way of the rumblings about whether or not he was going to be fired. But I guess I can't say I'm surprised when your team has lost whatever they had lost, you know, 5-6 in a row, and we're struggling. That's what happens. And Atlanta had some probably outsized expectations heading into this season. And when those outsized expectations prove to be unrealistic, everybody's looking around for somebody to blame. And unfortunately for Lloyd Pierce, he was the guy who got fired. It'll be interesting to see if Nate McMillan brings something different to the table in terms of demanding a little bit more from Trae Young on the defensive end of the floor. But jumping in midstream, we talked about it with the Timberwolves, where, I mean, Nate McMillan's probably going to come in and run a lot of the same things that Lloyd Pierce was running, because it's just really hard to install a whole new system when you're barely even practicing. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's – again, I never think that firing the coach midseason, I'm not sure that that ever really makes a meaningful difference, and I doubt it will in this case either.
I'm going to tell you the answer to the question is that nothing's going to happen. It's going to be the same. I mean, McMillan's been on his bench. So it's not like he's some guy coming from Toronto or something, Mike. You know, it's not some Minnesota thing. Now,
right. It's not a guy coming in completely, but still, you would have to think that that's where, when we talked about the Minnesota situation, we talked about how, yeah, if you bring somebody from the current bench, now you're looking at tweaks to the system. So now you're looking at maybe handling something that had been handled one way. Now we're going to handle it a little bit differently, which is a little easier transition than bringing in someone completely new from the outside. Plus the fact that Chris Finch in Minnesota is the guy being hired long term. Nate McMillan, who knows? Maybe he's going to end up getting the job. But at least to this point, they've named him interim coach.
Hey, and so, you know what? It did something, Mike, because tonight they only gave up 80 points to the Miami Heat. That's pretty impressive.
So there you go. They got one victory out of it.
Butler didn't play, but it's still impressive. But yeah, I don't think it's going to change anything. And what I'm really excited about, and we'll get to the Cavs a little bit later, Cavs back to sniffing the playoffs, Mike. We're back to sniffing. I'm not saying we're getting there, but we're back to sniffing. We weathered the storm, so we'll see what happens. But we're a game behind Atlanta.
We knew February was going to be rough, right?
Yeah, we knew February was going to be rough.
And there was a long stretch where it looked like those victories were going to be few and far between. And I do remember, I'm going to give you credit, because I do remember you saying that at the end of February, there was a few winnable games that you thought maybe we could get a couple of those. And
I did not have the Philadelphia 76ers on that list.
No, but a four-game winning streak at the end of February heading into March has been nice, and it's allowed you to right the ship. And I think it's interesting that the reality is that you look at the Eastern Conference and you go, right now Boston is 18-17. So they're one game above 500. The Cavs are 9 back of Philly. Boston's 5 back of Philly. So you're looking at a four-game spread to go from number 4 to number 12 in the conference. So all those teams are bunched up. Now, again, we feel like there's probably a tier of teams. So you look at Philly, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee. I think the consensus, I'm sure you'd agree, is that those three teams are kind of apart from, at least at this point, in terms of performance this season. Those three teams are probably a tier apart. And then I'd say in the next tier, the reality is you probably have Boston, Toronto, Miami, and maybe Indiana, just based on their past track record.
Passing on Indiana. Passing on Indiana.
All right, so you're taking Indiana out.
Telling you right now, bold prediction number one on the podcast, Mike. The Cavs are going to end the first half of the season on a 5-game win streak. We are winning tomorrow night against the Indiana.
Who do we have tomorrow? Okay. All right, that's fair.
And if they do that, then they're sitting right there. They're sitting right there. I'm saying they're going to beat Indiana tomorrow.
All right.
Larry Nance, who was the bread and butter of our defense, without Drummond's terrible attitude, and more importantly, I think a Kevin Love sighting might be made when we come back from the All-Star break.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. Does he make a meaningful difference if he does play?
I mean, offensively, he spaces the floor a little bit more. I mean, here's my question. Would you rather have Kevin Love standing in the corner to shoot a three-pointer and playing, or would you rather have Dean Wade standing in the corner? Now, he's no offense, Dean Wade. I like your mutton chops.
Dean Wade's 4-0, right? Hasn't he started the last four games?
I like your mutton chop beard, okay? But, yes, he's 4-0 as a starter. Well, this year, I don't know. I think he may have started a few games last year at some point.
All right, well, regardless, the question I think becomes – will the Cavs – you're saying you think the Cavs are going to hang around for that 9-10 spot. That's what I thought heading into the season, and then got a little pessimistic as we went on our 8 or 9 game losing streak. And now after going back the other way and winning 4, it seems like they may have a chance. So let's ask the question this way. In the Eastern Conference, obviously I think we can both agree that we're writing off Detroit, that Detroit has no chance of making the play-in. Are we willing to do that?
I agree. Detroit's checked out.
All right. Is there anybody else that you're willing to completely cross off of as having no chance to make the play-in?
I have to say Orlando is getting close, not because I picked them in the playoffs to start the season. I just think they're too injured. And I think, Mike, and we're going to talk about this in a second, I think that Skiles might have a chance of being a candidate for getting ousted.
Skiles? Who's Skiles?
Skiles. Isn't he the coach of the Magic?
I don't think so. Oh, Steve Clifford.
Oh, Steve Clifford. Scott Skiles was the coach of the Magic.
Scott Skiles was the coach maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, man. No, he was the coach in between.
All right, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now.
He was the coach in between Van Gundy and Clifford.
All right, I'm looking it up right now.
Come on, Mike. Scott Skiles was the coach in between Clifford and...
All right, I'm looking it up. I'm fact-checking you right now. I'm looking it up.
While Mike's fact-checking... I think here's the Cavs schedule, Mike, and this is where I wanted to go with this part of the conversation before we talk about coaches being fired. Here's the Cavs schedule. So we play Indiana, okay? So I think that's a winnable game tomorrow. It's home. We play New Orleans. I don't know that's winnable, but, I mean, depends on what Lonzo Ball shows up. I mean, they beat Utah yesterday. That was a pretty impressive.
Can we revise that right there? It doesn't depend on which Lonzo Ball shows up. I'll tell you what it depends on.
Mike. It depends on which Lonzo Ball. Is Lonzo Ball just going to jack up shots and not pass the ball to Zion? That's what happened in the fourth quarter yesterday.
I think it depends on which Stan Van Gundy shows up.
Like, what the heck was that? Yesterday he was crazy good in the third quarter, and then the fourth quarter he just completely disappeared. It was like he was a mime in the corner and no one even recognized him. It was crazy. Anyways, so then we play Atlanta. That's winnable. I think Miami is possibly winnable, depending because Jimmy Butler's been playing like every other game. Boston, I don't think that's winnable. I think the Spurs is winnable. I think Toronto's winnable. I think Sacramento's winnable. I think Chicago's winnable. So I just said winnable. Now, I want to say I don't think they're going to win all those games. I think they're winnable games, though. So I say in the next 10 games, including tomorrow, I think the Cavs have 7 games that are winnable. Now, how many are they going to win? I think if we go 5-5, I would be pretty happy with it in the next 10.
5-5 keeps you in the mix for the 9-10 seed for
then,
sure.
Because then we get to play the gauntlet at the end of March. We get to play the Lakers. We go on our West Coast trip. We play the Lakers. We play Sacramento, who I think we can beat. And then we have to play Utah after that. So, I don't know. I think the Cavs have a chance. I think it's really nice, the end of the season. The end of April is really where we can make hay, Mike, because we have Charlotte, Chicago, Detroit, Chicago, Charlotte, Washington, Toronto, Orlando, Washington. That is a stretch of games right there, Mike. I like that stretch of game.
Yeah, you would have to think that that's going to make or break you, that you're going to have to win 70% of those games probably at that point to be able to have a shot to get into the play-in tournament.
I don't want to spend too much longer on the Cavs' chances of being in the playoffs.
Are you crossing off the Magic or not yet?
I'm close. Did you ever get the answer? Scott Skiles was in between Van Gundy.
Scott Skiles, well, I don't know where he was in the pecking order, but he did coach the Orlando Magic for 82 games during the 2015-2016 season. And then he resigned.
Then Jacques Vaughn took over after him, right?
And then he resigned in May of 2016. So he's only there for one year. He has also coached in Milwaukee, Chicago, and Phoenix.
Did Jacques Vaughn take over after Scott Skiles?
I don't know the answer to that question because I don't have.
Sorry.
Well, I pulled up Scott Skiles' basketball reference page, not the Orlando Magic coaching.
Tree. We don't have to spend any longer on who's coaching in Orlando.
I'll tell you. So the following season, Frank Vogel was hired.
I don't remember that at all.
The season, Vogel was terrible, I think, in Orlando. But again, you're only terrible because you have you better have talent. And Jacques Vaughn was the coach prior to Scott Skiles, although he was fired in the middle of the season, replaced by current Charlotte coach James Borrego, who coached the final 30 games of the 2015 Orlando Magic season.
Talk about quite the carousel. I mean,
there's been a lot of people going through that franchise.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. So I'm not ready to completely cross them off yet, but they're close. And I'm not ready to cross off Washington because they have Bradley Beal, and they do have Russell Westbrook, who's not been very good, but he can still have flashes of brilliance, and I'm not ready to cross off Washington yet.
It's crazy that Westbrook is still averaging a triple-double, and yet I think 98% of NBA fans would say we want no part of this guy if our franchise was trying to get him. Even, I mean, obviously the contract has a huge impact, but I think there are people who, even if he was making $10 million a year, would say there is no way we want Russell Westbrook anywhere near our team. And some of the on-off numbers with Westbrook on the floor and off the floor would probably support what those people are saying. But yet it's still amazing that he's averaging a triple-double, and that basically won him an MVP, and now it's almost made him a pariah, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. All right, so that's who I cross off on the East. I just think right, we
I'm
just crossing cross off.
I'm gonna cross off Orlando. I'm gonna cross Orlando and Detroit off.
Okay. All right. For the West, we might as well just do the West now too, since we're here. Let's just talk about it. So I think we definitely are crossing off Minnesota. Yes. After watching Houston lose their 12th in a row the other night, I'm crossing Houston off. And I'm almost ready. I think I can cross off Sacramento, and I'm willing to cross off Sacramento and consider crossing off Oklahoma City. I know that's
I think you had to cross. I would be more likely to cross off Oklahoma City than Sacramento. Although
Luke Walton Sacramento is terrible. Seems like Luke Walton's out. He's going to be
Sacramento feels like a mess. I mean, it feels like that team has 5 or 6 competent players that should be able to win games in the NBA, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put it together. And whether that's coaching, whether that's on the players, whether that's who knows, but Sacramento has been a really weird team because they've had stretches where they look pretty good and won some games in a row. And then, you know, they just had the stretch where they went, I don't know, they lost whatever 9 or 10 in a row and looked completely outmatched and clueless. So
I'm looking at this roster, Mike. It looks like where bad players go to die is Sacramento, Jabari Parker and Hassan Whiteside. Like, those guys, is Whiteside even playing? He is playing. He's averaging 8 points a game. That's kind of impressive.
I know. Jabari Parker, last time we looked, I think last week when I looked at his statistics, he had played in 2 games. So I don't know if that's changed since the last time
I
looked.
I don't know, but he's only in his 2 games, if he's only played 2, he's averaging 4 points. Corey Joseph, former Cav killer. He was a Cav killer. For a little bit there, he would try to do stuff. But anyways, I think we can cross all those teams off. I think the Pelicans are the only ones that are on the outside looking in that I could believe could make the playoffs. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't think any of those other teams. I'm going to keep Sacramento in. I'm going to cross off the Thunder, Rockets, and Timberwolves. I still think there's an outside chance that Sacramento could hang around, and if one of those bottom teams suffers an injury, that they could maybe sneak into the 10 spot if one of those teams above them has some kind of injury, or maybe they go on a 10-day COVID protocol, missing guys. But otherwise, I think if all the teams stay healthy, I think Sacramento's going to have a hard time. I think they'll have a hard time getting in. So, all right, coach watch. Are we ready to do our coach watch?
Let's do our coach watch. So, Mike, so my pick is
all right, I want to hear this one because I think there's
Clifford,
a couple.
Steve Clifford is a chance in Orlando, but he's kind of been dealt a bad hand, so I don't know. I think, Mike, I'm saying it right now. This is not an in-season move. This is an after-the-season move, so I don't know if this qualifies or not.
All right.
I think Bud is the guy on the hot seat. I'm telling you right now, if I'm Milwaukee, I just got Giannis to sign a long-term contract. If they don't pull it together, and they got absolutely thrashed tonight by the Nuggets, if they don't pull something out this year, I'm going to say it, Mike. If they don't make the NBA Finals, they've got to get rid of him. Bring someone else in, especially if he's not willing to have Giannis play more than 38 minutes a game. I'm saying it now. I think Bud is out.
I don't disagree. I would have made that move. In all honesty, I would have probably made that move after last season. It just was clear that, to me, there's just things that anybody can figure out. And that is, look, Giannis has got to play. You look around the league, like any superstar is playing well into the 40 minutes in meaningful playoff games, and Giannis is still sitting down at 32-33 minutes a game.
Here you go, Mike. Giannis played 32 minutes tonight. Jokic, whose team won by 31 points, had no reason to play him as many minutes. Jokic played 37 minutes. Jamal Murray played 37 minutes. It's inexcusable.
Well, look, you can justify it in the regular season. In the regular season, you can justify it by saying, rather than having him sit out games, we're going to play him 6 minutes less a game than we might otherwise. But the reality is that's not the case. It's not just in the regular season. There's just no change in those minutes come playoff time. And you look around the league, and either Bud is completely thinking way outside the box and he's zigging when everyone else is zagging, but superstars play 40 minutes a game in the playoffs because you need those guys on the floor. Every team is so much better with their superstar player on the floor. And when they're off, teams just try to survive. And when you're Milwaukee and you have to try to survive 16 minutes or 18 minutes versus the Lakers who have to try to survive 3 minutes without LeBron, it's a big difference. It's a big, big difference. And I think especially this year, if he only plays 32 minutes in the playoffs, Milwaukee could easily lose in the first round because their bench this year, their depth is terrible. I think their starters, if they would play their starters heavy minutes, I think their starting lineup can compete with Brooklyn, can compete with Philly, can compete with the Lakers, can compete with the Clippers, the Jazz, whoever you want to throw out coming out of the East. But I think you look down the totality of their bench and there's just not enough versatility. There's not enough firepower on that bench as it's constituted right now, which in the playoffs should matter less. But with the Bucks, it matters the same. And so I don't disagree with you that I could definitely see Bud being fired the day after Milwaukee gets eliminated in the playoffs, unless that playoff elimination comes in a hard-fought series in the NBA Finals.
I just want to point something out. So I'm looking at some advanced stats here from our boy Giannis, okay? Giannis is averaging 33.9 minutes per game. LeBron is averaging 34.5 minutes per game, Mike. That is the lowest amount of minutes LeBron's ever averaged in his career. And he still has more than Giannis does currently. And I understand it's the regular season, but that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. That's what I'm going to say, Mike.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's, I don't know. I mean, I've said it the last two playoff runs that Giannis has got to be out there. I mean, it's not like he's not in condition. It's not like he can't play 42, 43, 48 minutes a game. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And be one thing if he was playing 32 minutes and the Bucks ran roughshod over the NBA playoffs the last 2 years and won a title. Okay, great. But they've had the best regular season record 2 years in a row, and it's meant nothing when it comes time for the playoffs because they didn't adjust and play playoff basketball. And so I don't think Bud survives unless they make it to the NBA Finals. Otherwise, I think you got to bring in somebody new to take them over the top. Kind of like the Doug Collins back in the Michael Jordan era. Doug Collins got them to a certain level, and they needed to bring in Phil Jackson to be able to push them over
the top. So you're saying that the Bucks should pick up Phil Jackson?
I am not advocating the Bucks or any other team pick up Phil Jackson. Absolutely not. I think any team that were at this point to hire Phil Jackson in any capacity, I think would be making a serious mistake.
Oh, Mike.
Let's put it that way.
The Phoenix Lakers game is really close, and Booker just got ejected.
Oh, that's
for something
good.
Ridiculous, apparently, according to the Twitter.
Okay, well,
so I don't know what that is, but
we'll have to check it out.
We'll have to see what that's all about.
All right, so Bud, so you want me to get my next coach fired?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I think the next guy, you already mentioned it, but I think Luke Walton in Sacramento I don't think he lasts the season, barring some unexpected turnaround from Sacramento.
That's not as exciting as mine, Mike.
No, it's not. I got an exciting one for you, but we're just kind of trading back and forth. So
yeah.
You give me one more, and I'll give you one more. I don't think there's a whole lot more candidates, but see if you can come up with one more, and then I'll come up with one more.
My other one, you know, if I think if Boston falls apart and Ainge gets the ouster, President Brad, as Bill likes to call him, Bill Simmons likes to call him, I think he could be on the hot seat at the end of the season.
So you think
too.
It's a double whammy in Boston?
I think
Whit Grossback fires Danny Ainge, and then the new GM comes in and cans Brad Stevens. That is a bold prediction, my friend.
Listen, would it completely surprise you based on how they're playing this year?
Yes, it still would surprise me.
Okay.
Just because of the aura that Danny Ainge brings to the table and his history with the Celtics, I still would be somewhat surprised. And Stevens, despite I think he's not necessarily looked at as flawless of a coach as he might have been 2, 3, 4 years ago, but still I think most people would probably consider him in the top half for sure of NBA coaches. So I don't see that happening, but certainly Boston is underperforming what they thought they were going to be able to do this season. But I don't see that one. I'm going to stick in the same conference though. I'm going to stick in the East, and I look at the Indiana Pacers, and they are currently sitting at 15-18. I think most people thought that they were going to be better than that. And when you hire a first-time NBA coach that your average fan has not heard of, that person is not going to be given as long as a rope as somebody who has maybe a more established track record. So do I think that Nate Bjorkgren is going to get fired? Probably not, but I could see a scenario where if they keep hanging around below 500 and don't get things turned around, and who knows, I don't know what the internal situation in Indiana is, but maybe there's some, and I'm not saying this is true, but let's just say there were some things going on behind the scenes, combine that with a disappointing record, and it would be a surprising firing, but the same token, new coach, maybe it just didn't work out, team's underperforming. Seems like that's a recipe where a guy could maybe be on the hot seat.
That's definitely one I'll be honest with you, I didn't even think of that because he just got hired there. Listen, once again, I feel like he's dealt a bad hand. They had a bunch of people. Sabonis got hurt for a little bit there. Then you got Oladipo got traded, and I know Oladipo's not the same, and he's obviously not playing well in Houston either. I don't know if I buy that. So, but
look, I'm not saying it's likely to happen. I'm just trying to come up with a second situation that maybe the team is underperforming and maybe there could be some underlying reasons of, hey, we thought this guy was ready to be a head coach and maybe it's a little bit too much for him at this point. I don't know. I'm not advocating for him to be fired. I don't really know anything about what goes on behind the scenes with the Indiana Pacers. So please don't fire Nate Bjorkgren because we're talking about it here on the Hoop Heads Pod.
No, I don't think they're going to fire.
You don't think we have that much influence?
No, we don't have that much influence. But you know what? You could have influence on, Mike.
What's that?
Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy is a new world of fantasy sports gambling. You can select 10 prop bets that each carry a point total based on the likelihood of happening, and you're making these prop bets on the best players in the NBA. You're not making these prop bets on whether Nate Bjorkgren's going to still be the coach. You're making it based on, and not based on, is Devin Booker going to get ejected from the game? That's not going to be what you're betting. You're betting on LeBron scoring points and Luka. How many threes is he going to make? And how many rebounds is Jared Allen going to get? And things like that. Use promo code HOOPHEADS when you sign up today and you will receive an instant deposit match up to $50 on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy in the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today. And with that, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some.
Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit snapraise.com and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time.
All right, we are back to talk about the All-Star Game. Now, we made some discussion and some predictions based on the roster that was revealed last year as to who would be the first in and first out, or who were the snubs and who were they going to get called. Devin Booker, I think we unanimously, you and I both agreed that Devin Booker was going to be the first call in the West. And lo and behold, Devin Booker, you're allowed to play in the All-Star Game even though you just got ejected in the Laker game. Congrats. Devin Booker, you're in playing for Anthony Davis. And then Sabonis for the Indiana Pacers is going to be playing for Kevin Durant. Now, Kevin Durant is still going to be making his selection. Now, I don't know if that means that Sabonis is in, like, is automatically. I don't know how they figure that out, like, how they're going to do, like, that. That'll be interesting because that's happening on Thursday, the draft. How they work that in, like, does that mean that Kevin Durant is going to get the first pick no matter what now? Or I don't know how that all is going to work and how they decide who's starting and all that. Maybe they go to the person who has the next most votes on the team or something like that.
I'm guessing the coach will just decide that. I'm guessing.
Well, what kind of fun is
Quinn
that?
Quinn Snyder, right? Quinn Snyder's coaching the All-Stars in the West.
Well, he's for the West, but Kevin Durant is on the East, Mike.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I'm all discombobulated, so.
So anyways, but did you read the interesting article about Jimmy Butler?
I did not.
So the rumor is that Jimmy Butler was asked to replace Kevin Durant, but Jimmy Butler said that if Bam Adebayo wasn't on the team, he wasn't going to play. Because he feels like Bam should have been on the team ahead of him.
I think that was the guy that we thought would be the first replacement. Rather than Sabonis, I think we thought Bam would be the guy that would get that first call. So I'm a little bit surprised by that, especially in light of the fact that Heat's been playing better and what they did last year in the bubble, making it all the way to the finals. It seems like Bam has become a higher profile guy in the league than Sabonis.
You get the foreign market with Sabonis.
True.
So, all right. Well. Listen, I don't know if Sabonis is bringing anything to the All-Star game, but let me tell you what's not bringing anything to this All-Star game. The list of people in the dunk contest. But that's a little teaser in a second here. We're going to talk about who's participating in the skills. And then do we want to make a prediction, Mike? I think that's what we did last year was we talked
sure,
about it and
we
then
can
we
make
made
a prediction.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Because we only have like 5 days until the All-Star game or 4 days until the All-Star game. It's pretty crazy. Anyways, skills challenge. We've got Robert Covington, Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, and Sabonis and Nikola Vucevic. Now, if they do this the same way that they've done it, and we've got to remember this, Mike. We've got to remember how they've strategically placed this. What they've done is they match people up that are about the same size in the first round or play the same position. So you would have to imagine that Sabonis is going to go against Vucevic in the first round. You would probably imagine that Covington and Randle are going to go against each other and Luka and Chris Paul are going to go against each other. Would you agree with that statement?
That seems like an accurate portrayal.
I'm going to go with my boy Luka as the winner of the skills challenge. He probably won't win it because I picked him, but I'm going to go with Luka.
All right. I feel like Vooch won it sometime in the last year or two, but maybe I'm wrong. But big guys have definitely dominated this event in recent years. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Nikola Vucevic as my winner of the skills challenge. He's somewhere down the line. He's a defending champion. He has won the skills competition, I believe, at some point in his career.
And the thing is this with this, Mike, is I'm not opposed. The problem that I have with the dunk contest competitors, and we'll get there in a second, is that the names in the skills challenge and the names in the three-point challenge are exactly the names that we expect. But the dunk contest is terrible in comparison when you're lucky. And I know it's probably harder to lock in the all-stars and the actual players to do the dunk contest. I understand that. I just think when you're looking at the list of the skills challenge, you're like, those are all, except for Covington, they're all stars. And then I look at the three-point contest. Devin Booker, All-Star. Jaylen Brown, All-Star. Steph Curry, All-Star. Zach LaVine, All-Star. Donovan Mitchell, All-Star. Jason Tatum, All-Star. They are all All-Stars. They are all people that we want to watch. Now, maybe they got more All-Stars to do these competitions because it was just more people they were going to have to bring into the quote-unquote bubble in Atlanta, and they're making it easier on themselves. But I just don't know. I think the three-point contest looks exciting. All these names. I'm gonna pick Devin Booker to win the 3-point contest, Mike. I think he's won it once. I know Curry's won it before. I'm gonna go with Booker.
I'm gonna go with Curry.
Okay, there you go. All right, Mike.
I just think it's hard to beat the best shooter. All right, I gotta self-correct my skills challenge call that Vucevic won one. He has not won one. So here are your winners. I'm gonna work my way backwards. Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kristaps Porzingis, Karl Anthony Towns, Patrick Beverley, Damian Lillard, and Trey Burke. Damian Lillard, Tony Parker, Steph Curry, Steve Nash, Derrick Rose, Darren Williams, Dwayne Wade, Steve Nash, Baron Davis, Jason Kidd. So we definitely had a very guard-heavy beginning to this. And then in the last, since 2016, you have Towns, Porzingis, Bam, and then Tatum and Dinwiddie. Yep. So definitely has trended bigger in recent years. But I'm still going to stick with my pick of Vooch winning it. He's just not going to win it for a second time.
All right. All right. And then the moment we've all been waiting to talk about, the dunk contest. These are the participants in the dunk contest. And for some reason, we only have three. We have Anthony Simons. Okay. That's a name I know. Who's Cassius Stanley? Like, do you know that player? If I said Cassius Stanley, what college did he go to? Could you tell me that?
I think he went to Duke.
Possibly. I don't know.
I'm going to look that up.
Okay.
I don't know. But I could not. If you could show me a picture of 100 people, and I would have no idea which one was Cassius Stanley. I would have none. So even though I think he might be from Duke, let me see here.
Okay. Well, while you're figuring that out, the third person is
played college basketball for the Duke Blue Devils, I'm looking at a photo of him, and I can honestly say you could have shown me 1,000 pictures of human beings, and I would have never picked Cassius Stanley out of that particular array of lineup. So,
and then the last one is Obi Toppin. Now, I've seen Obi Toppin do dunk contests before, and he's the one I'm most excited about out of these three because he's got some pretty good dunks that I've seen in the past. And I was a big Obi Toppin fan. Obviously, he hasn't quite worked out, or he hasn't quite lived up to what maybe some people's hype or my hype level was. Obviously, his team's been solid, but he's been okay. But I'm excited to see what he pulls out. Of the three, I think I'm most excited about him. Mike, your opinion of the dunk contest participants?
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I don't know if these guys are good dunkers or not. I have no idea what they're going to bring to the table. Obi Toppin, I guess, would be the guy just because he's got the biggest name of the three of them, being a recent number one draft choice and being also from the state of Ohio and going to the University of Dayton. So I guess from that standpoint, I would pick Toppin. But the reality is that these dunk contests – are just, I mean, they're objectively horrible. I mean, they just are. They're, even if you have good dunks, when you have no-name guys doing the dunks, it's just not nearly as exciting. So I'm looking at the all-star rosters right now. Okay, so if I was going to put together my dream dunk contest right now, okay, here's who it would be. And if you go back and you look at some of the early dunk contests, these are exactly the names that if you transported the 2021 All-Stars back to 1991, these guys would all be in the dunk contest. I mean, to me, it's criminal that LeBron has never participated in a dunk contest. I mean, it's criminal that we have no highlights of LeBron. And I get it, LeBron at whatever he is, age 35, I get him not wanting to participate now. But why, when he was 19 years old, why wouldn't he have wanted to be in the dunk contest? To me, it's just insane that we never saw him in the dunk contest. So here's my dream dunk contest lineup. So you have LeBron. You have you have Zach LaVine. You have Donovan Mitchell. You have Zion. And I need one more. I need five guys out of the All-Stars. So who's my other guy that I want in there? I probably want Giannis in there simply from the height that he can get to. And he's got to have some crazy stuff in his bag. So give me those five. If you had those five in the dunk contest, could you imagine how exciting it would be? And even if the dunks were theoretically worse than some of these no-name guys, which I'm sure they wouldn't be, but even if theoretically they were, if those were your five names in the dunk contest, I mean, it's a no-brainer. Everybody, every basketball fan is watching that versus what we're throwing out there today. And look, it's not the fault of the guys who are going to participate. Thanks for participating. And I'm sure they're going to put on and do some crazy, crazy dunks. But without the star power, it's just not the same. It's not the same dunk contest. It doesn't feel the same.
I will be fair here, though. We have to be fair to the NBA, Mike, because they're playing. They're doing this all in one night. They're doing this at halftime of the game. The last thing they probably wanted to do was to get a guy who's already played a bunch of minutes on the All-Star game. And I know they're probably not playing super competitive and make them do the dunk contest and then have to go back out there and play in the second half. I kind of feel like we have to give them a pass this year in a sense because they're doing this in such a weird format. Like,
yeah, look, I know it's not going to happen this year where the players are going to play in the game and then come out at halftime and do a dunk contest. I get it. But LeBron's had 18 seasons to participate in a dunk contest.
He's never doing a dunk contest, Mike. It's done.
Right. I know he's not. And it's scary to think that Zion's never going to do one. I mean,
well, he basically rejected doing it, right? Did you see that? You saw
I don't understand though. Like, to me, like when you're these young guys, like why wouldn't you want to go into the dunk contest and just build your brand and make an even bigger name for yourself? Like be in all these highlights that people are going to be watching. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I understand. But what can I say? I don't have anything to say. There's nothing we can do. So like I said, they're doing the draft on Thursday, so we can't really make our predictions as to who's going to win the game. We'll just have to wait and see, and then next week we'll talk about it because really we're not going to have much to talk about other than the All-Star game next week and maybe just second-half predictions because there's only games tomorrow night, and then we're on break until next Friday. So,
fingers crossed that it's a good All-Star game. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that the guys get down there and they say, hey, you know, as long as we're going to be here, let's play a competitive game. And I think the Elam ending helps with that for sure.
Yep, for sure. So, all right. The last thing that we want to talk about is the biggest winners and losers, Mike, for the week. And we've already spent time talking about the Cavs. But before we do that, Mike, we do need to take one more break for our sponsors.
Hey Hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
All right, we are back, Mike, and we're going to quickly talk about the biggest winners and losers. And I will say this, there are not a lot of winning streaks going on right now. It seems like there's quite a lot of teams that have won one or two or lost one or two in a row. So I'm going to highlight the winning streaks first. There's only three of three or more. Now, there could be another one here shortly, depending on the outcome of this Lakers-Suns game. But right now, Boston has won three in a row, and they had a big game against the Clippers. The Cavs have won four in a row. We've already talked at great length about the Cavs. I don't think we need to dive back into that well. Although I want to just give Colin Sexton, Mike, he's been very good this year. And I think we have to realize that I don't know that what we thought he was going to be or where we think he can ascend to, but he's been very good. And I really truly believe he needs to be the two guard and not be the one, be the guy bringing up the ball up the floor, because he's playing really, really well off the ball when he's like in the floor. And he does play well with the ball too, but I think he's better off the ball. So I'm just
he's a poverty stricken man's Kyrie Irving.
For sure. He's got the same number too.
That's the right role for him. He's not a natural distributor. He's never going to be a guy who's going to, even if he has the ball in his hands the whole game, he's not going to be a guy who's going to put up 8 or 9 assists. It's just not who he is.
Well, he had 8 yesterday, Mike.
Right. But I'm saying on an average,
when you think about,
he's never going to be a point guard. If he's a point guard, he's never going to be a point guard that is going to be in the top half of the league in assists, because that's just not who he is. He's a scorer, and he's probably already in a lot of ways exceeded the expectations that a lot of people had for him. I think his next challenge is, as the Cavs hopefully improve the roster around him, can he do other things? Can he become a better defender? Can he keep working on his ability to playmake? Those are two things that are going to impact long-term what ends up happening with this Cavalier franchise, is how he develops and fits in as the team gets better. It's easy to put up big numbers on a team that loses. It's a lot more difficult to maybe see your numbers drop a little bit, but contribute more in other areas that can help your team win. I think that's going to be the next frontier for Sexton and what he can do, you know, what he can do moving forward.
Yep. And then as far as, so the other, did you want to have anything to add about Boston?
Boston, I think they were on, you know, they had a big losing streak to drop a couple games below 500. Seems like now they won 3 in a row. Maybe they righted the ship a little bit. Still, they've been wildly inconsistent until Kemba Walker is approaching full and complete health, which who knows if that's even possible anymore at this point in his career. I think they're going to continue to struggle along. Now, I expect them to finish probably in one of those top 6 seeds. I don't think they're going to have to be in the play-in tournament, but you never know. Again, like we've said numerous times, injury, COVID, something hits at the wrong time, you go on another losing streak, you can very, very quickly drop in the Eastern Conference standings because of how bunched up all these teams are.
Yep. Okay, and the other Western Conference, the only Western Conference team that's on a winning streak right now is Denver. They've won 3 in a row. And, you know, they did your favorite thing the other night before they went on this 3-game winning streak. That wonderful, that was them, right? That did that wonderful fast break to tie the game. That was really good.
To fan out to the 3 instead of cutting to the basket. I mean, that play got a lot of traction on Twitter and social media for people basically roasting those players for not cutting to the basket. And I get it. I get exactly why people were roasting them. And I felt the same way. It's like, this is one of the things that I've said over and over again, both here on the podcast and whenever I talk to people, that it's one of the aspects of the basketball, the way it's played right now, that I dislike, is it's a 3-on-1 fast break or it's a 3-on-2 fast break. And instead of trying to get a layup, teams just, everybody spaces the floor, get outside the 3-point line, and you end up taking a 3-pointer and a 4-on-1. And look, I get the math over the course of a long game or a long week or a long season. It dictates to you, hey, the 3 is worth more than 2. So our expected points per shot is better when we take a 3. But there's also situationally where, look, we've got an advantage here on the fast break. Chances are, if we are going to attack, we have a good offensive player, we're going to end up getting a layup. And a layup has an expected point value of pretty close to 2, I'm guessing, with NBA players. So it just doesn't – I mean, that play was awful. It was awful to watch. It made no sense. Makes you question the IQ of those players. But yet, in a lot of ways, they were just operating kind of on autopilot, because that's what they've been taught to do. That's what they've been doing. And they're not in a close game very often. It's not often that a game comes down to the last 5 or 10 seconds.
Yep.
I completely agree. All right. So those are the three teams that have winning streaks. And obviously, you know, we devote a lot of our time to the Lakers, so I don't really want to spend time talking about them. We know where they're at. And Phoenix is in the same boat. They're playing pretty well. And we don't know the outcome tonight, so I didn't want to spend any time with them. And then for the biggest losers, we have to start with the biggest of the losers, Houston. They're atrocious. They've lost 12 in a row. And then Minnesota has lost 8 in a row. They're also atrocious. I think both of those teams are terrible. I don't think either of those teams, obviously we've already crossed them off of our list. And
Oladipo turns down the $45 million 2-year contract. Thoughts? Is that a smart move by Oladipo? Should Houston be sad or glad?
If he doesn't want to play there, you know, good for him. But at the same time, I don't know a team that's going to offer him. I mean, do you think he's going to get offered $45 million on a 2-year contract for anyone?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Where? Who's going to pay him?
I don't know. I think he's young enough that somebody's going to talk themselves into, hey, you know, his injury history's behind him. He's got a pedigree. He's a defensive player. He's this, he's that. I think somebody somewhere, you can just look at the history of the league, that contracts that you would have never seen coming, guys a lot worse than Oladipo have gotten bigger contracts than 2 years, $45 million. So I would anticipate that some team, and again, I don't know who that team is, but some team is going to pony up to give him a better deal, whether they give him more years or they give him more money in the 2-year range. I just think somebody's going to end up signing him.
Okay. Great. Great for him.
And if I'm Houston, I don't really care if he walks out the door.
Yep. And Minnesota's been bad. We talked about them a lot last week, and I don't think we need to spend any more time.
Not much to say. They're not going to turn it around. Towns doesn't seem like he's a guy who single-handedly is going to turn the tide of a team that, quite frankly, has been the worst team in the league.
Yep. All right. So then in the Eastern Conference, two of the biggest losers are people that we're crossing off of our list. Orlando's lost 4 in a row. Detroit's lost 3 in a row. And the Pacers have lost 4 in a row, soon to be 5, Mike. I'm just telling you, I really think the Cavs are going to win tomorrow. So I'm banking on it.
Bjorkgren could get fired right after the Cavs game.
I don't really know that I have much to add about those teams. Detroit's terrible. Ironically, we didn't talk about Dwayne Casey possibly getting fired. Is there any chance that he gets fired in Detroit, Mike?
I don't think so. I think that Detroit, at least my understanding is, they went into the season feeling that they weren't going to win, that they were going to be near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. So I don't foresee Dwayne Casey getting fired. I could see Dwayne Casey going another season or going into a season where you keep bringing in young pieces and somebody says, hey, look, we need a different voice in here. We need a guy that is going to be more focused on player development or whatever it might be. We just need to change up the voice that our players are hearing. But I don't think now is the point. I think everybody understands kind of the hand that the team has dealt, and I don't see them firing the coach because they're doing exactly what you would have expected them to do.
Yeah. Mike, I have to tell you this. I know this is out of left field. I've never seen a player of the opposing team tell the officials not to eject someone. LeBron was like, Devin Booker got ejected. LeBron was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like the reason he got ejected was because he bounced the ball to the official. Mike.
And the official wasn't looking and it hit him
no,
or what?
No. He bounced the ball to the official. He didn't even say anything. He bounced the ball to the official and another official ejected him. It wasn't even the official he bounced the ball to. And Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder are just sitting there laughing. They can't believe he just got ejected. I'll send you the video. You can check it out and give me your opinion on this, but it looks absolutely ridiculous. I sent you the video already of him bouncing the ball and getting ejected. But LeBron's like, whoa. LeBron can't believe he just got ejected. And Schroeder and Harrell are just laughing with him. With Booker.
All right, I got to look at why that. So give him a T first, right? That's a different. Is that a?
You know, he got a T earlier in the game.
Okay, so it's a different guy who calls the foul. So that's the second. That's his second T.
Yeah, I think so. I believe so.
All right, well, so then that's why he got ejected. He didn't get ejected for that singular act. He had just gotten a T.
He shouldn't have gotten a T for bouncing the ball to the official, Mike, is what saying. The second T should have never even happened.
But weren't they – doesn't the first guy walking off when it's a block gives him a T? You see what I'm saying? That clip? And then the guy who throws him out is not the guy who gave him the T. The guy signals for a block.
He must have only gotten one. Listen, he must have only gotten one technical then, because Kevin O'Connor said that his ejection was ridiculous. So maybe he only got one technical foul.
Kevin O'Connor wrote,
the Devin Booker ejection is ridiculous. No one is tuning in for the referees. What a joke. The officiating is a major issue. Adam Silver needs to do something about it. And I mean, Kevin O'Connor doesn't call people out.
But you can't tell what he said there. So I don't know. I'm not advocating for the officials in this case, but you can't really tell what he said. The guy turns and heard something and gives him a T. So maybe the guy misheard what he said, because if the players are defending him and the players are out there on the floor, then they say he didn't say anything. But it seems clear that official that called the block, that's walking towards the scorer's table in that highlight, gives him a T pretty quickly after Booker says something. And I don't know what he said, but maybe he said some magic words. So
what magic words? Oh, well. Please and thank you?
Maybe.
All right. Anyways, Mike, do you have anything else that we want to talk about tonight? Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I think the one last thing is worth spending 30 seconds on is just the continued ascendance. And now we talked about it a little bit off the top of the podcast, but Zion's continued ascendance into superstardom. I mean, at this point, I don't think there can be – he's played less than a full 82-game schedule at this point. And I think offensively, I mean, he might be one of the five or six most difficult covers in the entire league when you talk about his package of size, strength, speed, jumping ability, all those things. And it becomes clear that when he reaches his apex, he's going to be a guy who is going to be a high volume player. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot when he gets to his apex and when his team is playing at their best. And I'm not sure why that's not happening all the time. It's obviously happening more than it was at the beginning of the season, but he's just so efficient in terms of the number of shots he takes, and he's shooting almost 60% from the field, and he gets to the line, and he's just so fast. He's so quick. He's so strong. I hope he stays healthy, and it seems like he's in better condition at this point than he has been in the past during his NBA stint anyway. And you just hope that he can continue to stay healthy, and as he matures and he starts to realize that he's got to do some of the things that LeBron did, and he probably is not going to ever do it to the extent that LeBron has done it. But if you start to take care of your body and you start to come in peak physical condition, man, the sky is the limit for Zion. And I know we debated last year, we haven't really brought this up at all this year, but we debated a little bit who would you rather have, Zion or Luka. And last year, I think it was clear that Luka had a decided edge. But Zion's making that question a heck of a lot more interesting over the last month. Let's put it that way.
No, Mike. I'd rather have Luka.
Man, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Luka, but
I think Luka
projects as staying healthier over the course of his career. Zion's body is just so funky, and the way he runs and
Mike,
all those things.
Mike,
but
Mike,
what?
Mike,
what?
Tell me why.
Sell me on Luka.
Well, you just said the number one reason. I don't trust Zion to stay healthy.
Okay, let's say he stays healthy. Let's eliminate that. I agree. If you take health into consideration and what you're projecting, okay. I would definitely say Luka's.
Here's my question. Do you want to win?
Are you asking me if I, which one of those guys is going to help me win more? Is that where this question is going?
Saying. That's what I'm
yes,
saying.
Yes, I want to win.
I think Luka's the winner.
Why though?
He's already won.
Won what? I want to win an NBA title.
He's won in Europe. You're telling me right now that you would take Zion over Luka.
I might. I honestly might.
Mike.
Here's the argument. The argument for Luka. Here's what it comes down to. Offensively, as far as scoring, each of these guys has a slight weakness, right? Luka's slight weakness at this point is still his shooting, as crazy as that sounds. He's not as knocked down of a shooter as you think he is from, I don't mean you personally, but I'm just saying as the general public thinks he is from deep, especially. Zion's jumper is, I would say, definitely not his strong suit. Let's put it that way. Both guys, Luka gets to the rim any way he wants to by kind of using his strength and his footwork, and that allows him to get pretty much wherever he wants to go on the floor. Zion also has really good footwork, has just the sheer athleticism to overpower guys the same way Luka can overpower them, but he combines it with an explosiveness that Luka can't come even close to matching. I think the difference between the two of them on the offensive end of the floor is Luka's passing at this point is better than Zion's, far better than Zion's. But Zion is not a bad passer. But I think if you put the ball in his hands and you got him more reps, I think he'd continue to get better and better. I just don't know. I can see ways that you could stop Luka at his peak or at least make him work. Zion, who's the matchup that can stay with a guy who's that fast, who jumps that high, who's that strong, again, if he's healthy? I still might lean Luka, but
okay.
Man, Zion is, he's right there and he's about ready to knock the
door down. You know what the player efficiency thing, you know about that, yeah. Right? Player efficiency.
Yep.
So you know what Luka's player efficiency is, Mike?
Right now in this season?
Yeah. I'm guessing
he's like at like 31.
I'm looking at player efficiency. What is this? Hold on. I'm looking on the NBA.com website. The PI. I'm looking at the PI, the player impact estimate. PI measures a player's overall statistical contribution against the total statistics in games they play in. Okay. Luka is 18.7.
Okay.
Zion's at 15. They're not even. He's not even sniffing him. The importance.
PER. Okay, so player efficiency rating. We have for Zion Williamson. He is currently at 26.9, fifth in the NBA. And then I just had Luka's. Where did his go? All right, and Luka is currently at 26.36. Seventh in the NBA. So both of these guys are obviously hyper efficient.
How many minutes is Zion playing a game?
He is averaging more than you think. Right now for the regular season, Zion is averaging 33 minutes a game.
Okay. Luka's at 35, so they're close there. They're close. Maybe closer than I want to give them credit for, but I think I would rather have Luka personally right now.
Here's what
I would say. I think Luka's a more natural born leader than Zion is. And I think
maybe, but Zion's 20 years old.
Luka's 22, Mike. That's a terrible argument. Luka's 22.
We'll see. I don't know. What are you basing the fact that Luka's a great leader on? What are you basing that on?
He like literally when you're watching the Mavericks.
But that's because he has the ball in his hands the whole time. And that's because he's orchestrating everything.
I'm talking watching the bench, Mike.
Watch things that are going on outside of the game space, not between the lines. Watch what's happening on the bench. Luka's involved in conversations with Rick Carlisle and the players. Zion, when he's sitting there, he's listening. He's not vocal. He's not sitting there talking. And maybe that's because he's so young and they're not.
Yeah,
they're not,
he hasn't even played 82 games in the league yet. I'm just saying
I think he's a better leader. Luka's a better
leader.
But
that's fine. We're definitely splitting hairs, and whatever case I make.
That's the poll of the
week,
Mike. That's the poll of the week. You need to put that poll.
Would you rather have
Zion or Luka?
All right, we'll do it. We'll do it. Maybe we can create a question on persona.
Mike, I will just say this much. Zion wasn't even drafted in the first round of our fantasy draft.
Well, I think it's funny because, so let's look at it this way. Last year, heading into the season, I mean, I think we titled four or five of our podcasts heading into his rookie season, just how much we were anticipating getting an opportunity to watch him play. I think his rookie debut was probably as hyped as any since LeBron came into the league. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that,
In terms of our level of excitement of seeing him. And I just think that our expectations of him fell off a little bit because he maybe was a little out of shape. He was a little hurt, didn't play as well as people thought he was going to. When you think back to last year and you think about his performance in the bubble. And so I think that kind of tempered people's expectations or what they thought. And now he's just, again, he's exploded on the scene in the last month. I mean, he was good for the first month or two of the season, for the first month of the season, but he's just taken it to another level in the month of February. And it seems like he's got a whole nother level to reach when he starts having the ball in his hands even more. So they're very, very close. They're obviously completely different players in terms of style of play. Zion is so much more explosive and Luka is so much more deliberate. And they each have things, I would say, that are strengths that maybe aren't the strengths of the other one. So it's kind of like, well, which kind of guy would you want to build your team around? And I think right now, gun to my head, I'd probably still take Luka, but that gap is way narrower than it would have been 2 months ago for sure, where I think it was a no-brainer, you take Luka. And I'm not sure that if you told me Zion was going to stay healthy for the next 15 years, I'm not so sure I wouldn't lead Zion.
Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens.
We'll put that poll up there. Maybe we can throw it on, like I said, a question on persona and get some people to answer that. So,
okay.
Anything else?
No, the Lakers are going to lose to the Phoenix Suns when Devin Booker got ejected. So, yeah.
Phoenix wins one for Booker.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. I don't have anything else, Mike. All right.
So, just to wrap things up, again, thank you for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you haven't started to check out our shows on Nothing But Net on Dash Radio, you can hear every one of our Hoopheads Pod Network shows on NBN Dash Radio. So please check that out. We're very excited about that partnership. We also have been posting and answering questions on Persona and then adding those to our YouTube channel. So if you haven't checked out the Hoopheads Pod YouTube channel, not only do we have all our interview episodes up there, but we're also starting to post answers to NBA questions. So go on there and comment, check those out. You can see them coming through on our Twitter feed as well, but definitely check them out on the YouTube channel. It's something new that we've added. We're going to continue to add some new podcasts to the network that'll be coming out soon. We'll be making those announcements in the coming weeks. We are very excited about where we are going. So please follow us on social media. We are Hoopheads Pod on all of the major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please subscribe, follow, all those good things. Help us out. Hopefully you are finding value and some entertainment in the content that we're putting out. We really do appreciate you being a part of Hoopheads Nation, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.